Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. I apologize for my voice. I'm struggling a little bit, wrapping up a cold here, but we'll power through. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. A little bit different.
You look sick.
What's that?
You look sick.
I look sick. That's fantastic. That's
how I mean, you look like you're just down in the dumpers.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Logan's going to be doing a lot more talking today, so I apologize for that. But we'll get through it. Logan, how's everything going? Baby keeping you awake and all that?
Baby's getting better. Baby slept through the last night, but, you know, like I was telling you before the show, I'm just a roller coaster of emotions. Like, I'm literally about to slip my wrist when she's crying. I can't get her to calm down, but then when she smiles and then rolls over, and like, I'm like the happiest guy in the world. So I'm definitely on edge.
No, she's already got you wrapped around her finger.
Oh, dude, I love her to death. But
already.
She's a pain.
And you said at the beginning, it was, I think John said, Cigar Surgeon said, man, I can't wait to watch her wrap, take total control.
She already does.
She's got you under her tiny little thumb.
Already, yeah.
That's good, though. I'm glad to see that there is some human inside of you. That's good.
I've tried.
Our guest today, Kyle Gellis of Warp Cigars. Kyle, thanks for taking the time, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We're excited to chat with you. People have been asking a lot of stuff about Warp. It's been kind of a lot of buzz since IPCPR. I wouldn't shut up about you guys. From day one, I think we came out and met with you on it was either day one or day two of the show. And when I got my hands in that Colmena, I think I'm saying it right. That cigar just blew me away, man. That was the best cigar that I smoked at the show, and I haven't smoked anything better since. I've been singing the praises of that cigar for a long time. So
sing your praises to, and who came over and actually introduced himself? I just want all our listeners to know how much swagger we got. You guys probably think we're just a bunch of derelicts.
I'm not sure what you're putting down here, so I can't follow up.
Let me just say this. As everyone watching the show thinks Rob and I are probably just a bunch of derelicts. We don't know what we're talking about. But we were talking to someone pretty famous in the cigar industry. If we said the name, you would know. And because of Rob's drop about Kyle and Warp, this guy went over and started talking to Warp.
You'll have to tell me offline who you're talking about, because I'm not following this.
Where did we sit in the booth for like an hour on day two, and we got grilled by this guy? We drank scotch. Come on. Your memory is terrible. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't make for a good story, because you're not going to tell anybody. anyway, moving on. Kyle, give us, I mean, Warped, I mean, you guys are brand new on the scene. You've got three cigars out, La Colmena, El Oso, and the Flor de Valle, which I was supposed to have a review done for that today, but I've been, like I said, a little under the weather. I didn't want to smoke it on a imperfect palate, which I guess my palate's always imperfect. But give us some background. I mean, all the buzz. Everybody wants to know. So give us a little bit of background on you and Warp Cigars as a whole.
Yeah, so actually, we're not brand new on the scene. It was actually our first just actual IPCPR debut. We've been open since 2009. We started off with actually Little Havana Miami-made cigars before. And at the time, though, I was in college, and I was actually only about an hour away from Little Havana, as I am now. And it just got to a point that I was in college, and I had to finish, and I was transferring up to UCF, and which is like a four-hour drive or 2 hours and a half hours from where I am, or 4 hours from Miami. And it was like, okay, let me go up and finish and get it out of the way. And so I finished school, and the day after graduation, I actually got in the car, drove back down, and started working at El Titan again, started working with Sandy. So it was almost immediate that I went back down. And, I got into cigars. I've been around my entire life. My father was a smoker as I was growing up, and he was a Habano smoker mostly, so it was really Cuban in my house. And I remember he'd come home from work, he'd let me pick out the cigar from his humidor, let me cut it, hold the lighter, and I would just sit with him in his study while he smoked, and he would just tell me about the flavors, the construction issues, and the packaging, and things of that nature. So whenever he had a cigar, I wasn't far behind, and I just grew up around it. And I remember when I was 18, I just randomly on a whim said, okay, I want to learn more about this, and I drove down to Little Havana, and I went around to every factory down there, which was a lot more back then than it is now. And had the door slammed in my face a lot of times, and eventually found a factory willing to work with me. They were great. They taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about blending. Taught me a lot about tobacco in general. And you know, then went off to school, and you know, I knew Sandy a little bit, and I just went back, and I was like home there. So I went back after graduation. And as you guys know, that's where we've been there since. So it's home for us.
Cool. That's you know, it's you were telling us a similar story at IPCPR, and that's not the first the first time that we've heard people talk about the El Titan de Bronze factory that way. Everybody seems to, if you've ever done any work down there or you've been involved at all. I've never been, but everybody seems to love, especially Sandy. Everybody, I don't know Sandy, but I feel like I know her because everybody talks about her all the time.
That's
awesome.
That's the way it is down there. You'll feel like your family when you walk in the door, from Jose, Sandy's husband, Sandy, and just all the rollers, and you know, just everyone involved. It's just it's home. You know, I mean, I go down there on like Saturdays. And there's no one there. It's in the back office with, you know, Sandy, and you know, down there, since you know you have brands like, you know, Padilla, and you know, you have them stop by. Like Willie's there all the time, and you know, Ernesto's there a lot coming in, and you know, then you have, you know, well, I mean, it's just everyone drops by, and then a lot of store owners drop by, and people in general. It's just a very interesting place to be, because it really is like the last factory. It is the last factory on Cali Ocho, you know. Oh, it's the epitome. It's right on the corner, and you know, it's the one to go to. You know, if you're in Miami and you have a layover or whatever, you got to stop by. So I always tell everyone, like, you know, that's another thing that we really love about, you know, being able to down in Miami is, you know, you can go and you can step in the door and you can see, you know, Rap or Ronaldo or Jose, you know, rolling, you know, Warps, and you can see it done. And it's something to look at. A lot of people come in to see Maria, you know, rolling the Goldie, because that's all she does all day long, you know, and everyone else is rolling everything. It's just something to experience, you know, because otherwise you have to go to the Dominican, you have to go to see this. But with us, walk in the door. Simple as Miami.
Wow, so you get a little taste of Latin America right there, Miami. That's really cool.
Coffee right next door, and best steak sandwich right across the street.
The best coffee right next door, you said?
Oh yeah, it's right. You go right across the street, walk across, best Cuban coffee, and then walk across the street the other way, best steak sandwich.
I'm in. Sounds good. Logan, you got a question, man? Fire.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was supposed to be answering all these questions because you're apparently sick. Being a flop, you know what I was going to say, but I can't say it. But anyway, so hard-hitting question. So I know Warp's got a lot of buzz. Your guys' sticks, you know, are, you know, a little bit more expensive, right? And, I mean, there's a lot of allure using El Titan Bronze, but it is, a lot of the cigars come out there a little bit more expensive. Have you ran into the point where you've started thinking that, hey, I need to be a little bit more cost competitive, I need to find a factory potentially in Nicaragua or the Dominican, to expand your market?
You know, we have, of course, you know, the Miami made is extremely special. You know, only 100 to 150 rolled a day, depending on the market with us. Colmena, of course, is 100 a day maximum. And then, you know, it also is 150, depending on, you know, which roll it is. You know, so we wanted to get a market out there that was, you know, price competitive, in the high eights into, you know, the nines. And that's when we started working with Casa Fernandez and created Cordovalle. And we wanted to be able to be that, to be in that area, and which is why we created Marca. And you know, when you work, it was a beautiful fit. I mean, the blend is flower of the valley, and it uses the Jalapa Corolla 99, you know, Valley Grown, of course, wrapper. It works with the blend, like the taste is open. How it makes itself, and it's something that we're very excited to bring to market. And it's an old school, you know, Cuban feel to it. And you know, working with Casa Fernandez and Ivan Orson Tobacco, that's something that we're extremely pleased with, and you know, we're really excited about what we can do.
Absolutely. So, you know, you said you've been around since 2009. I mean, you really, like you said, hit the scene this year, IPC Cigar 2014. That's like 5 years. So So what have you been doing in that 5 years, other than going to school? Has it been working on the blends to get you to this point? Has it been building the infrastructure to get to this point? Has it been just, hey, I'm going to school and I'm doing this as a side project, and now it's going to be my real job? What happened in those 5 years?
You know, we started off with, you know, the Miami lines made down in 2008, 2009, and we started designing the accessories. We had the Cigar Dude notebook in 2010 that we did. And then, you know, we finished school, and I was designing accessories that entire time, like the jar door and the cases, and building those infrastructures and relationships with those factories, and, you know, building the blend for Oso. You know, the Oso blend took months before, you know, we were happy. And, you know, building, you know, build infrastructure is going to take a while, and building relationships and, you know, building, you know, the blend and letting it be. You know, a lot of people, you know, look at it, but cigars, you know, for us, they sit for, you know, 60 to 90 days before we release them, you know, out of Miami. So there's a lot of time frame and production time, you know, with 100 to 150 a day. You know, it takes a long time with blending, you know, the blending process, you know, you do something, bulk it, you know, right off the bench, and then you let it sit for, you know, 30, 35 days, you know, it progresses throughout, and then you have to make decisions. So a blend, you know, it takes months. You know, if you want to go that way, and that's the way we do it. Maybe the blend is exactly how it's going to progress throughout its life. You know, it's a long and tedious process. And, you know, we've been so far in depth with, you know, 2009 till now, with building the brand, of course, and, you know, it's pretty, you know, working with the right people, building relationships. And one of those things that people do that in time. And we've got, you know, this year the IDCPR, and it was finally time to come out on, you know, and all the work we've been behind the scenes during all that time. And it's just one of those things that we were so excited to be in, you know, in Vegas doing the show. And, you know, it was a relief to get it off my back to be able to be, okay, we're finally, okay, I'm happy now.
No, absolutely. No, I mean, so, you know, I got a question from one of our audience members, Mark Anthony. I mean, you kind of mentioned Ernesto a little bit, you know, we're about coming up on our first break here in a couple minutes, but in the next minute, explain to us how Ernesto has impacted Warp Cigars.
You know, Ernesto, I first met him at the factory when I went back, and, you know, he gave me a little guidance on everything, you know, gave me the ins and outs, you know, things like that. He's just been a really supportive individual to us, and, you know, he's a good friend now, and, you know, and it's just one of those things that he was there to help. And, you know, we appreciate it. You know, we appreciate it. You know, it's just one of those things that when you're an El Titan, you get to know everyone there that comes through. And it's one of those things that, you know, everyone's willing to lend a helping hand. You know, the sponsor is cool. You know, it's full of great people. And that's part of the point for me. You know, love so much from people from, you know, other brand owners. Remember, you know, you share a cigar, and it's like you're friends with them.
No, absolutely. I mean, I won't tell you about the first time I met Ernesto. I got a 50-minute lecture on bands. And it was a complete ADD, just diatribe. It was the most interesting show that we've ever had on Cigar Chat, but it was, I'd love to sit down with him in person. But yeah. So, I mean, he's an interesting character, that's for sure.
He's a wealth of knowledge, and, yeah, he will talk to, because he's very detail-oriented about everything about the idea of the brand, and, you know, he lets you know. I mean, like, he's no bull. It's he'll tell you straight how it is, and, you know, and that's what I love about him.
Absolutely. So, Rob, we're coming up here on our break, so let's just go ahead and take it.
Yeah, we'll talk more with Kyle from Warp Cigars right after this break. Hey Kyle, when you're talking, like when you lean back, your voice kind of fades in and out. So I don't know if you just
let me lock the chair.
Yeah, maybe because at some points, sometimes you're really loud, and then sometimes you're not.
All right, I can't lean back.
Yeah, just try to project just a little bit. Thanks. Sorry, I should have brought that up before. Hey guys, welcome back to Cigar Chat, brought to you live at CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. We're here hanging out with Kyle from Warp Cigars, talking about El Titan de Bronze and all the cool stuff that's going on down there. Logan, this next segment's brought to us by who?
This next segment's brought to us by our good friends at Foyety Nicaragua. So check us out on CigarFederation.com. You guys, you'll be the first to hear about this. There's a contest that Hoya is going to be running. I can't really give you the dates or what you can win, but let's just say it's several boxes of the new Hoya Red. That'll be launched. Come check out Cigar Federation tomorrow for your chance to win. There'll be flashing banner ads. If you miss it, then you're freaking blind.
I love how you say, I can't tell you what it is, and then tell everybody exactly what it is.
Well, I mean, they're
I can't tell you what we're going to give away, but we're going to give away three boxes.
Oh, I did. I guess I did say it was a Hoya Red, didn't I? Well, hey, anyways.
I didn't even know what the prize was, and now I know. That'll all go live on September 9th, so check that out.
That's not today.
It's going to be pretty easy to spot. I got a quick question here. This one's from Doc Will. He posted up one of the first question of the night, and I always try to get to the first question, even though we've already answered several other ones. Wants to get an idea behind the name Warp, behind the name Warped. You know, where did that kind of come from for you? And it's to me the look and the design and everything has a very whimsical kind of feel to it, kind of a Willy Wonka type situation. Just curious what the background is on that.
Well, before I was actually, you know, I started, my first company when I was 14 in the paintball industry. I was playing paintball from the age of 8 and on until I was 18.
Wow.
Traveling around the country for tournaments, things like that. And my first company name was actually Warp Customs. And we made headbands and apparel and, protective stuff like that, all that in the paintball industry. And it was such a part of me because I was so passionate about that industry, which there's similarities with the artistry about the people of it. And when I was thinking about naming the company, I was like, should I go with something different? And I just said, it's been a part of me forever, so it's just gonna come with me. And in all honesty, it's a simple story is that it's been my identity since I was 14. So there was no reason to change it for us.
They may as well stick with it, yeah.
Question. So does your beard also function as a protective guard in paintball?
It would now, but it would stick down underneath the mask and it would protect, but I don't know if it would stop it. It would probably break because this is pretty solid.
I didn't know if it would deflect, like the hairs would deflect it off or something. I don't know. I mean,
no, but getting the paint out of it would be a pain.
I mean,
no,
I can imagine.
It gets messy.
So with paintball, there's like tournaments and traveling teams that go around the country and
around the world.
Like that's it's a whole thing. I don't know anything. I mean, I've played paintball.
I don't know anything about it.
I'm not any good at it, but it's fun. But it's funny when you think of like random side note. This guy that I work with at the Giants, he puts together tournaments in Las Vegas where people get together and play Street Fighter, and these things are huge. Like Street Fighter 2 from back in the day. And these things are freaking huge. They fill up these huge auditoriums like IPCPR, that big. And it's people playing Street Fighter. And I just don't, there's so many different things that people get into that you just don't even realize it. But anyway, I don't know, sidetrack. But
fun. Believe me, man, I played it for 10 years, man, it's fun. I go back out now and just like, mess around, but I played competitively for years.
So is it like a capture the flag type situation?
No, it's a point system. It used to, there are tournaments like where it's capture the flag, but the one that it turned into was X-Ball, and it was and it turned into it's a point system. The guns are they do ramming. So the first pull is a semi shot, second pull is a semi shot, and on the third pull, the trigger can ramp up and send up to 60 balls a second. And then you just sit there, the trigger bounces while you pull it, and just a constant scream. So it's intense.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine.
A lot of training into it, like to break off, on the break when the buzzer goes off, and be able to move to it. Because at that point, as soon as that buzzer goes off, three guys turn around and just lay lines down, to the other end, and so like you've got to book it.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, I'll have to look it up on YouTube. I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. You'll be shocked. Believe me.
I don't think it's anything that I'll get into. I'm a little bit too wide and too slow for stuff like that. But
too easy of a target.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm too slow and too fat. I could be the general in the rear with the gear, you know, just giving direction.
No, you'd be in the front, bro.
The back player, their voices are so loud because they're literally yelling out the positioning, the movement, where the front guys and the mid guys need to go or need to lay, like, you know, line down. Because they see everything. So when you lose your back guys, you're going to rely on a heavy voice. They're screaming over the entire field. So it's fun. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it. I'd go back and play and mess around now, but I can't do it. I don't know. I'm speed for it. Anymore of the body.
Yeah.
You have it on you. You're diving, jumping, and slide.
Oh, I can imagine. I would say I would just put Logan right in front and line up like five guys behind him and just have him run down the middle.
Flying coded. Behind Logan. The flying V behind Logan.
Yeah.
If you get hit and you stay in, you get deduction, you get a penalty. But the second you get hit, you've got to get off, otherwise you start getting penalized.
Oh. Yeah. Then we'd have to hide. No, we couldn't put you right out front, dude.
No. Unfortunately. Otherwise, I don't
know for number one. Okay, we're getting off topic. But so we were talking about this, excuse me, a little bit offline. There's been some questions. This one's from Fred White. Wants to know when La Colmena is going to ship. I know you had some box issues, things we were talking about a little bit offline. But give everybody an update on that.
Yeah, so we did have the boxes are delayed from the factory. It was bad timing from the IPC PR with everyone putting in orders. So we got word from them, actually, looking at the phone right now. Guys, they should get around the middle of the month of this month, September, and once they land here in Miami, they'll be boxed in the factory in Miami and a day or two afterwards. So you guys will see them this month, without question.
Cool. Yeah, I know we had there has been some comments on the site and things like that, so I just want to make sure that everybody got
apologize for it. It's just one of those things that it was unfortunate timing with the order and everyone getting everything into the IPCPR. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. it won't happen again, but don't worry, you guys will get it this month.
Cool. That's one of the, I mean, it happens. It's not, I mean, we've had, we just had somebody on recently that was going through the same thing with boxes, and I can't remember who it was. It was Tony Valletto from La Barba. Same issue. I mean, it's, when you have, it happens. Everybody at IPCPR is there at the same time. Everybody's placing the orders at the same time. There's only so many places that make the boxes. So, yep. Logan, maybe we should start making boxes.
I'm telling you, man, if I ever brought my corporate background into the cigar industry and started running it,
you'd get assassinated.
I would, one, probably get assassinated. No one would ever want to work with me except for the white dudes. The white dudes that are making cigars would want to work with me because I'd say, hey, 30 days, if I don't deliver, then you get cost concessions. And it would be a well-oiled machine, but, oh, man, people would hate me.
People would hate you, or they already? Well, no, go ahead.
I'm lovable.
I was making a joke.
I
but your lovable joke was better. Go ahead, ask some questions.
I have a bunch of questions, Rob. You kind of put me on the spot there while you're coughing. Everyone knows Rob's coughing. So, you know, give us a little bit of background, Kyle, on kind of your... Because right now, I know you have La Colmena. I mean, Rob's your biggest fanboy, and I can't remember. I know you have El Oso, and you have
El Oso
one of them.
And Florida Valle. Florida Valle is the one that's out of Nicaragua.
Okay, so give us kind of the 1 minute elevator pitch on each one of these blends.
So El Oso is the bear, and we have three Vitolas in it. We have Papa, Mama, and Cub, and Ecuador and Habano Oscuro wrapper, and we want it to be like a medium body, kind of, you know, creamy with a really like dark. You know, flavor profile with chocolate, you know, earth, and a little bit of spice. We don't want to go too spicy on it. And it's just a really balanced, medium body with dark flavor. And that Colmena is medium body with a little bit of spice, cream, and mostly fruit with a little bit of honey. And then we have Floridae, which is just, it's a massive fruit explosion with a balance of spice. And it's phenomenal. You know, utilize Aguinaldo tobacco with it, and Corojo, Criollo, got the blend. So it's a prime and raw material.
And that's only one Vitola, correct?
Or that's not? Two. There's two. There's Cristale, 42x6, and yeah, Grand Valle, which is by 5.5.
Okay. So far, which one has been your biggest seller? since the trade show.
Call me at a 44.
Why?
Because it's really good.
Well, this is coming from Rob. So
no, that's the one I reviewed. I'm telling you, man, I would smoke that cigar all day, every day. That is really, really, really good. If you have read any of my reviews and have any idea of the type of cigar that I like, and you like something similar to what I like, then you have to smoke that cigar. You have to. And even if you don't like stuff that I like, you have to smoke it anyway, because it's damn good. There's my pitch. That's all I got.
That's your elevator pitch? So, you know, have you been shipping things, orders from IPCPR, or is everything kind of in a holding pattern on boxes, or just specifically the La Colmena?
It's everything. It's the Oso boxes, it's the Colmena boxes, it's the Core boxes, it's, you know, they...
it's all boxes.
All boxes. It's a stressful thing, so it's, we're trying as best we can to make sure that everything is not spendable right now, and we always let our retailers know what's going on. And,
of course.
When they know everything's coming in.
So I've got to ask.
Yeah.
Boxes seem to be a prevalent issue for kind of everyone in the industry, especially, you know, up to IPCPR and after IPCPR. Why has someone not come out with an idea of making a... Because, I mean, functionally a box, I mean, it protects the cigars, it's kind of a collector's item, I get all that. But my guess, 90% of cigars that are sold are probably sold in 5-packs or singles, most likely, I would guess, that don't involve a box. To the ultimate end consumer, not necessarily the retailer. But why has someone not come out with an idea of making it kind of a box, but making it kind of a cardboard kind of cool thing where you can put a bundle inside of it? Because really, the box, all it is branding, right? Why can't you make something cool like that?
Because you can. I mean, Cuba does it right now with some of their lower-end Marcus. I know they also make 5-packs that come in master packs of, you know, 5x5s. And it's just, you know, there's something to me about getting a box of cigars, you know, that I think all consumers can, you know, relate to, opening it, sliding it open, seeing it wrapped, and just, you know, having it, you know, having like a cab or an SLB. For me, like, my biggest thing is a cab of 50, like, you know, specially selected Ramon Leones, like, just getting 50 and just having to pull out, I mean, it's an experience, and that's, you know, why people like it. Also, of course, it's branded on the shelf, you know, within the cigar store. I mean, also because you have to take into consideration that cigar shops, you know, have slanted shelves, some of them have flat shelves, and you can't, like, you know, cardboard, whatever the case may be, sometimes it may not be able to work. It may fall off the shelf, or may not be steady, you can't get the pan. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things that it's been a part of the industry forever, and it's always going to remain a part of it.
I need to get one of my engineering friends on this, because I think we could solve this problem.
Well, it's, you know, it's, Logan, you bring up boxes. And, you know, honestly, I don't really remember if we saw the boxes. I think we did. We saw the boxes you had them on display.
Yeah, I think we did.
But you had a ton of other stuff on display at IPCPR, different merch, different, you know, the wine, or the Jaradors and things like that. We'll get into that on the other side of this break. Hey guys, welcome back to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to hang out with us. We're here with Kyle Gellis, Warp Cigars. Logan, this next segment brought to us by who?
This next segment's brought to my best friend, Danny Moya, of Moya Ruiz Cigars. If you don't know anything about Moya Ruiz, you should. They make some great cigars. You can pick them up several online different websites. They have not my favorite cigar, but one of Rob's favorites, the El Perito, my favorite, the La Jugada Habano. I think it made my number 7 cigar last year. It's a really good cigar. And then, what? Quit laughing!
La Jugada.
Yeah, Jugada. Whatever. Spanish. I'm English, man. And then the one that'll give you a kick in the testes, the La Jugada Nunchuck.
Yeah,
I need to really. I might want to write these reads out next time, because
that was horrible. That was just horrible, but that's all right.
That's horrible.
No, the La Hogada Prieto. I do like that cigar. The Nunchuck was just that whooped me all up in the face.
It was strong.
Anyway, so we were, before the break, we were talking about different merchandise. Kyle, you guys have a bunch of different things that you guys are doing in addition to cigars. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of that?
Yeah, so the first thing we have is the Dorador. It's a 25 count jar humidor, ceramic body, Spanish cedar lining, and humidification book magnetically held within the lid. Gasket sealed, holds 25 Churchills, and it's kind of a modern, you know, different way of looking at, you know, storing cigars. We launched it for the first time at the IPCPR. It's limited edition to 1,000 pieces, each of them number on the bottom, and when the series is done and sold out, we'll come out with a new guard, a new size, with a new design, and, you know, just be kind of a collection of series for the future. And we have the Cigar Case Series, Series 1. They're all handcrafted in Spain. They use a hyperfuse technology to produce them, so there's not a single stitch on them. There's three colorways. There's Blue Ring, Fire Belly, and Tortoise. Blue Ring holds 353 by 6.5, Fire Belly holds 348 by 6, and Tortoise holds 250 by 5s. And they will be available in a week now to our retailers.
Cool. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff. If you guys are looking, if you're on Cigar Federation, you can take a look at our IPCPR write-up of your booth. We got some pretty good photos from our good friend, the Conscious Canadian, with his fantastic camera that'll take a picture of you from like 6 miles away. It's kind of scary, actually. but you got some pretty good photos of that stuff. And I know you have it all available. I think you sell it through your website? Yeah.
WorkCigars.com. Yep.
And that's all linked there as well. I'm going to jump back to some audience questions here. This is an interesting question from Man Angel. You're a smaller company. It says, do you consider yourself a small batch manufacturer, or are these blends that you're coming out with, are you prepared to go with long-term production with these blends?
No, everything that we come out with is long-term production. It's not something that we're making thousands and thousands and thousands of. You know, these blends are, you know, they stand for, you know, what we believe in at Warped, and it's something that we're going well into the future with them. And, you know, we have some ideas for some limited batch stuff. More recently for that, we have something coming out at El Titan in December, limited to 100 boxes, that I'm working on right now. It's actually on factory today, working on that, and a little bit more information about that in the future.
Cool. Everything, the three main releases that you have right now, or the only three releases you have right now, I should say, all going to be long-term blends. That's good. That's good to hear. And there's going to be some limited edition stuff coming up, so that's good.
This is just a random question. This is a personal question, so there's no right or wrong answer. But I feel like there's a lot of manufacturers that come out and they have a lot of limited editions. Limited editions are hot. We know it. We talk about it all the time. But in your head, what is a good ratio of kind of core production to limited editions? Is it 3-to-1 like you're currently at? I mean, would you rather see yourselves 1-for-1 or 1-for-2? I mean, I'm just curious where you think the right ratio is.
For me, when it comes to like limited editions, I believe when the concept calls for a true limited production, that I have a set amount of leaf that I can use, and then all this stuff will dictate how much can be made. So, you know, we have a set leaf amount that we have in the factory, so I can make this amount, and then that's it. And then, you know, but for us, for me personally, I like the core lines, the center of attention, because, like I said, it's gonna be there. You know, the limited, they come and go, and they're cool concepts, love it. You can really get kind of creative with it, which a lot of manufacturers do. You know, they're all good concepts, and you know, that's kind of the fun aspect of the industry. Come out with something, especially for us, you know, we're in, you know, Miami, it's a bar factory. And anyway, let's make, you know, 1,000 of it. Let's, you know, launch it one time. You know, maybe the size, a blend variation. We can have fun with it. And, you know, it's one of those perks, I guess, being able to be creative and happy. But for us, you know, core lines are where your strengths are. You know, it says a lot about, you know, your brand, and it says a lot about you, but where you believe the priority should be.
Well, what's that?
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah. So no limited editions from, I used air quotes there if you guys didn't see that. Limited editions from Warped in the future. Only truly limited editions. You find this mystery leaf. There's one bale of it.
Growing on Mars.
One bale of this mystery leaf, and that's it. And then you're gonna make them. That's kind of refreshing to hear, because you know, I mean, and it says a lot about you just as a businessman. You're thinking more long term as opposed to, you know, short term with yeah, that's I like that answer. That's
Rob just got a boner.
I don't know about that. I just think it's a good answer. I mean, well, it's a good answer, and it's refreshing to hear that. You know, you're making these core lines that everybody likes, and there's companies that do that, but then there's companies that are going to come out with, you know, they've got a core line, but then they get away from that, and they're making, you know, limited this, limited that, different sizes, you know, short, fat, big, tall, whatever, and it can get a little bit saturated, but to stay with your core lines and really focus your attention on them, and you know, do some things that are limited if the production or the product or the leaf that you're using calls for it. I don't know. That's just refreshing to me. That's all. question here. Another one from Man Angel. He writes out some long questions.
I love that guy.
No, they're usually good questions. That's why I always go with them. He says, we've heard recently from other small brands that they prefer to stay small as part of their business model. I mean, you're starting out. It's just you, and you're working with, you know, Titan to Bronze, and you're going to focus on, you know, maybe your core retailers or your core area. What's your outlook on that? I mean, are you really just trying to get in as many places as you can, or is it you want to focus on particular retailers, or how? What's your deal there?
You know, we take a lot of pride in the product we put out, and we want to represent it in the best possible way. So we want to work with the best retailers that will, you know, are the tradition and you know, our brand as much as we would. You know, we want them to care as much as we do about it, obviously. So if you can have, you know, you can be in as many stores as you can possibly get, but the stores that, you know, are have turnover are the ones that are, you know, the ones that you want to be in. They're going to bat for you, you know, and I'm going to do the best I can to go to bat for them. And, you know, that's the ones you always want to work with. You want to work with people who are on the same page, you know, with what you're trying to accomplish. And for us, it's making sure we work with the right people and not as many people as we could possibly run into.
You see, that's, again, there's a long-term broad outlook, and I don't know, I appreciate that just from a business standpoint. another one from Man Angel here, and this is a good question. I didn't even realize that you had this on your site, and I've been through your site, and I don't know how I missed it. He says, the Warped Cigars website is the first that I have come across to include a blog that includes cigar pairings with spirits. What prompted you to do that? To kind of just include some pairings of your stuff, and I don't know if you've paired other cigars or what. Just let me know what was your thought behind that.
Well, in the office, you know, I'm a whiskey drinker, and so I always drink whiskey, you know, when I smoke cigars, and you know, I'm kind of, you know, set on that pairing. And then our retail coordinator Mike is a wino, so just came up with the idea to have some content marketing, and unfortunately we've gotten away from it because we've been so busy traveling that we haven't been able to Wine Wednesday or Warped Whiskey Wednesday, and we haven't been able to do it, I think, 2 weeks, which is unfortunate, but we're getting back to it this week. And it's just one of those things that we're like, you know, he likes wine, I like whiskey, and it's one of those things that we want to try and see how people react to it. And you know, a lot of people seem to like it, and we not only with cigars that we offer, but just in general, what, like, in our country, tobacco pair well with it. So, you know, and usually it consists of, like, I have a pretty good whiskey collection, so I can bring in whiskey, you know, from home if we're going to do it. And then, or if, like, we want to do it, we'll just go to Total Wine because we got one literally 2 minutes away from the office, which is very difficult. And, you know, he'll pick a wine and, you know, and have an idea of what we want to smoke or what we want to use, and then he'll pick something based upon it, and we'll both review it while we smoke and put everything up, and we'll photograph it, put everything you know, we've started to contemplate maybe offering, I thought about bringing some raw leaf from the factory in to do it with, and just kind of smoking just like a singular leaf from like, you know, like Dominican or Nicaragua or whatever it may be, and just trying to do something a little, you know, you guys, we do things very differently, and we're just keeping up with that tradition.
Cool. That's just another way to interact with your customers too. It's a
if they think with Coleman, you know, let us know and we'll do it. Like, we'll take we'll get the whiskey, we'll get the wine, and you know, we'll do it. And something that you know we have a bright future for in terms of the content marketing, the blog, and you know, one of those things that, you know, why not?
Cool. No, that's a good idea. I like it.
You should make a pairing from one of a call-in, like a recommended pairing, to trash it. This, I guess, is the worst pairing ever. This was a terrible idea. If you need me to do that, I'll do it.
We're brutally honest with it. Like, I think with the last wine one we did, the wine was freaking terrible. It was Spanish wine. I was telling Mike, I was ragging on it the entire time. I was like, what did you use? Like, what the hell?
So who is Mike your partner?
No. He's just our retail coordinator. I've known him for a long time. And, you know, he's very good at what he does in retail and in contact with our retailers and, you know, managing the accounts. And, you know, he has the same values as me with when it comes to, you know, business in the way, in the right way. And so it was a good fit. We're happy to have him here.
Cool. I know we're coming up to it. We've got a few minutes left here. We're going to hit some questions. We usually talk about ring gauge. Tends to be a topic. Large ring gauge, small ring gauge, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a little bit more timely with you because you have focused on such small ring gauges. Do you see Warped going with any, jumping on the bandwagon and getting into any of those large ring gauges at all in the future?
Not a chance.
You're not judging anybody for doing it. It's just not your...
I don't judge people on their preferences for cigars, but it is not... It's not my thing. I don't blend that way. I just don't do it. You know, we're very, very traditional Cuban. And, I mean, you know, I think a 52 is the largest you will ever see come from us.
We're going to hold you to that. Write that down somewhere, Logan.
Listen, every time I do an interview, I get asked that. And they're like, we're going to hold you to that. And I'm like, hold me to it because it will not happen.
Like, write it down, take a picture, I don't care.
Oh, trust me, I got a memory like trash.
All right, cool. So that's, excuse me, I think that's the end of our AFRN segment. So, Kyle, appreciate it hanging out with us and taking some of these mundane questions that we threw at you and giving us some good answers. I know you get a lot with the ring gauge. We always talk about it. We had to bring it up.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, if you guys are looking to find Kyle online, warpedcigars.com, and your Warped Cigars pretty much everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, and all that, pretty easy to find. If you guys are on cigarfederation.com, you can find the link right there on the cigar chat page, take you right to it. We'll be back next week. Logan, we've got...
Normal time
next Thursday.
We're going to talk humidification. New age humidification. It's going to be... An education for all of us.
An education and humidification?
Yeah, pretty much, dog.
Let's see how we did that. So next week will be a good time. It's Havana Connection.
Havana Controls.
Control. What's Havana Connection? That's something else. Anyway.
Sounds like the French Connection.
Oh, yeah, that's a movie. Havana Control. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for your support, and everybody stay safe.
And we're fucking back into the best segment of the week.
Logan, you take over. My voice is dying.
Oh, you're being such a fucking sassy britches. So let's get these giveaways knocked out. And I'm not going to do anything fancy because I've really been sick of having to track shit after the fact. So for the giveaways tonight, we're going to give away 6 mystery 5-packs. And to win, you need to email me, Logan@CigarFederation.com. Warp Cigars in the subject line with just your mailing address where you can receive these cigars. No funny quips, no nothing. Just we're going to make it real easy. We'll pick them tonight before we end in the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we'll be done. So, now that Rob's out of the picture because he's being a giant pussy, Kyle. I gotta know with the beard, man. Like, because you're like really relaxed right now, but man, you were like in a suit at IPCPR, and it really threw me off because you got like the full beard rocking, but you had this fly suit on. So, like, what is the image that you see for Warp Cigars? Is it like a Metro Lumberjack, or are you trying to go for something different? I don't know. I'm curious.
No. A lot of people don't know because, you know, I have a thing for menswear, tailored clothing, and for the most part, you'll catch me. If you're going to an event or you're out and you see me somewhere, it's more than likely I'll be in a suit. You guys just happened to get me right after I got back from the gym, and I just threw something on. So be thankful because this doesn't happen a lot.
So it's like Victor Vitale does the same thing. When he goes out, he's like dressed the nines, very dapper. When he's on our show, he's wearing like duck hunting boots.
The last time we had him on, it looked like we woke him up.
Pretty much. I mean, he was close to that. I mean, I was like, damn, Victor, you dressed up. But anyways, but okay. So, how did you get into fashion then? In this last segment, we just talked about whatever the fuck we want. So I'm curious, how did you get into fashion?
You know, I grew up in New York, and, you know, in New York, you suits constantly, and you see, you know, well-dressed. My father always wore a suit, and, you know, he would come home and, you know, smoke cigars, and I just learned to associate cigars and suits and Dodge, you know, and it's just one of those things. You know, I have an eye for design, and I have an eye for color palettes and things like that, and craftsmanship, of course, and, you know, it just happened. You know, there ain't no two ways about it.
Okay. Well, you got fashion. I don't. Like, I have no fashion sense. But that's neither here nor there. So my next question is that you strike me as, like, an entrepreneur kind of guy. Like, I don't see you cranking 40 hours and 9 to 5 in a corporate environment. I see you, you know, you have this, you know, paintball company, which is pretty cool, by the way. And then you've got the cigar company. I mean, would you classify yourself as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I would classify it as. I don't do well behind, you know, I don't think I could ever see myself in a cubicle. You know, I make, you know, I'm relationship building and just, you know, hard work. You know, my day begins at 5:30 a.m. and ends whenever it ends. And you know, do whatever to get the job done. You know, it's just one of those things that I've been around hard work my entire life and kind of been instilled into me. So, you know, when you branch out on your own, it's just, you gotta have that mentality, you know. It's, I would rather take my own destiny in my own hands than if I'm sitting in a cubicle and, you know, work for someone else. And that kind of, you know, entrepreneurial spirit deal, you know.
Okay. You know? So what's been? I mean, with that being said, you're a young fellow. We won't say how old you are because I don't know exactly how old are you.
25.
I was gonna say 26, so I didn't look like an idiot. So
26, November 1st. Just
November 1st.
That's okay. My wife's birthday.
Rob.
Nobody cares, but I'm throwing it out there.
Well, that's good. Well, happy birthday, Dana. She's awesome. Anyways, so, God damn it, Rob, you threw me off my question. It was going to be so insightful.
It was. I mean, it was epic. It was going to be such a good question.
So and fucking I just good. God damn it, Rob.
Completely fucked it up.
Yeah, I fucking hate you. You're fired.
No, you're not going to say how young you are, but...
But you know how young you are, but you said you've got this entrepreneurial spirit. What has been, you know, starting Warped, what has been the biggest, like, holy fuck, I did this completely wrong moment where you thought you just had tanked everything? Or has there been a moment like that yet?
Yeah, of course there is. The largest thing that has been an issue at all, honestly, is the logistical aspect, is timing. Because, you know, you're always going to find unforeseen issues in anything, like, you know, getting material in, getting product in. There's losses, there's damages, there's, you know, the damage ratios on things coming in, and, you know, you have to, okay, I gotta make this deadline, but product's delayed, now I gotta tell them, you know, managing all logistical aspects, especially in cigars, because you got a lot of variables to consider here. You know, you got bands, you got boxes, I have, you know, rolling production, I have bales coming in. I got to make sure that everything is on time. It's one of those things. That, like the IPCPR, I didn't know if we were going to have boxes or not. Like, I didn't know. Like I said, like, earlier when we were talking online, I was like, I probably made it at the floor to, like, call my friends before to, like, try to force them to finish and get me the boxes to bring. You know, I didn't know if we were going to have, you know, the ashtrays. I didn't know if we were going to have our catalogs, you know, because everyone was, for some reason, the IPC guard, everyone wanted to be delayed in us. And it was just one of those things. It was just a nightmare. And now that we've gone through it, which everyone said would happen, like, you're going to have, like, the worst time in the world prepping for this thing. Now that it's happened, we know what to do and what to expect for Orleans next year. That's been the old, like, oh, fuck me moment.
So why, I mean, and the other, I mean, I wouldn't call this a no fuck me moment, but everyone who's kind of the first year guy at IPCPR has, like, a single booth, and frankly, their booths kind of look like shit. And why, but your booth was fucking awesome.
Tight.
It was fly as shit. And so why did you go with the fly-ass booth on year one? Is this just what Warped is? Is this statement you're trying to make? Because that shit ain't cheap.
No, it was just, you know, it's what, you know, we stand for, and it's what, you know, Warped's all about, the quality, and, you know, it's brand recognition, and, you know, what it stands for. And, you know, like I said, we've been in it for 5 years, and it was time to debut. And, you know, it was one of those things, I was like, you know what, like, I've been waiting 5 years, like, you know what, screw it, like, let's just do, we'll get a 20 by 20 island. And, you know, the booth design took months. Months. Yeah, it took months. Because, like, I went through so many variations with that thing to make sure it looked good, like the photography, the grain, the wood. Making it look like a museum, you gotta walk around, like, with the center post. It was a logistical nightmare. Like, back again, logistical. I didn't know if they were gonna be done. Like, it was just one of those things, but, you know, for us, it was just, you either gotta, like, you know, after so long, we had to make the decision to be like, okay, you know what, now we're gonna do it. Put it all in.
Okay.
We were in Vegas.
We were in Vegas. And we'll be in New Orleans next year, which, if anyone complained about Vegas, just go to New Orleans. Have you ever been to New Orleans in the summer?
Oh, I live in South Florida, don't worry.
Okay, well, it's gonna be humid as fuck, and it's terrible.
I have, like 95% humidity today.
Dude, it snowed in Canada today. Did you know that? Like, it's, like, an epic amount of snow today. Like, I almost shit my pants. I was like, dude, what is this little house in the fucking prairie? It's, like, September. Like, you know what I mean?
The prairie.
Dude, yeah. have you ever read the Little House in the Prairie books? Okay, I'll tell you a little something. My parents are very conservative. So we never got to, like, watch, like, the normal kid things. You know, 30-year-old kids got to watch. They're my age.
That's why you didn't know what the Neverending Story was.
I have no idea. I never got to watch The Simpsons or, you know, Beavis and Butthead, none of that. So we got, like, five channels. And one of those channels was, like, the Jesus channel. And it had, like, seriously. And it had Little House in the Prairie. So I watched and read the books because I had nothing else to read. And, dude, when they were, like, in Minnesota, like, the Wilder family, dude, they got snow in, like, September, dude. It was fucked up. I'm just saying, it's fucked up. Anyways, Rob, you asked some questions. You've had some good breaks. Enough about my...
No, that's fantastic. Keep going.
My ridiculous childhood.
So I've got some questions for people in the chat room. They went to your site. A couple guys have gone to your site. They were looking at some of the bracelets and things that you offer, and it looks like everything is on order or not. What did they say?
The second things, like, go up on there, bracelets, they go like that.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's like, you got, like, if you guys want, like, to be on the top of that, either sign up for the newsletter, because we'll drop a newsletter, like, the day they come in, just so you guys will know, because, like, we don't have to do a pre-order basis with it, because, you know, they're each made individually. So it's like, we don't know how long the turnaround will be because my jeweler is, like, really anal like me with things, like quality, and, like, wants to be there. So, like, just sign up for the newsletter and, like, you'll find out first and foremost this piece of content. If we did, they come in, we do a blast and, like, let everyone know.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so they can, you guys, if you're looking for that, just go to the warpedcigars.com, get on the
list. We have two new designs coming out for the fall and for the holidays.
Cool. Very cool.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a sneak preview of one on our Instagram, if you guys care.
Cool. Logan, how are we doing on this giveaway?
Yeah, I've got it. I got a question. So you remind me, not because I think you're a little bit more calm than this guy, but between, like, the jewelry and the cigars, do you take any inspiration from Matt Booth?
Oh, I love Matt is a good time, man. He I've gotten lucky to know him. It's just like he's just a fun guy to be around. I mean, when I did the jewelry and stuff, like I knew Matt, and I knew about his, you know, his lines and stuff like that. He has a completely different creative direction for it, which is really cool. I love his style. And you know, it's just one of those things. It goes back to fashion, like with menswear, like, and I wear bracelets and suits and, you know, tailored clothing, that kind of deal. And I've been doing it for years. And I was like, you know what? Like, we have a really good tobacco leaf design brand. Like, I put on a bracelet. You know, it was mostly for me at first. And then I showed it off on Instagram. And the next thing you know, people wanted it. And then it's kind of, you know, snowballed from that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very different, very different vibe from what Matt's doing. He was fun to talk to, though.
God, he was all over the fucking map.
He's got a very, and somebody who pointed it out. Somebody pointed out, but he's got a very serious Robert Downey Jr. vibe about him.
He does.
And once I heard that, it's like I can't not see it. Like, he's very Iron Man.
Yeah, he is very Iron Man.
And even in the way that he talks, I don't know. It just.
I had the best conversation with him. Is this the line at the Palazzo trying to get packages? I don't know. He's just a fun guy to be around, and like his personality is really cool. So it's, if you guys ever get the chance to, you know, meet him with people, have him, you know, like just enjoy it, because you're gonna be laughing.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, really welcoming too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, very hospitable. Yeah,
he was.
Logan, let's do those giveaways, bro.
All right, here we go. In no particular order: Stefan Lindbad, Anthony Russo, Garen Fry. I think you're a new dude.
Cameron Matt Fry.
No, Garen, G-A-R-R-O-N, Fry.
Nobody knows who Cameron Fry is.
I mean, I don't think that's fake, but he's winning. Matt Hill, because he's from Columbia, Missouri. And then Michael Harvey. Now, back to the rest of the story with Paul Harvey. That is. And then Jason Medina.
Oh, yes, new winners today.
I know, I picked some new people on purpose, just because I wanted to fuck over Jared Girard. Yeah, take that, Jared. And, also,
grill it. Jared, grill it.
I don't give a fuck. He's fucking existing. Fuck him. Anyways, and also, sorry for my obscenities. If you're actually listening to the shit show at this point on the podcast or the YouTube video, it'll get posted later. If you email me before, say, next Friday, which would be, let me get the date so you're not emailing me a year from now, September 19th, and you email me with Warp Cigars, Logan at CigarFederation.com with your mailing address, you also win a sample.
Hey, Logan, is today your birthday?
No, but it is very close, actually.
Is it tomorrow?
It is not tomorrow. It is the day after the worst day in American history.
Oh, it's the 12th.
September 12th.
Okay. I knew it was coming up.
It's coming up quick.
I was going to say happy birthday because I thought it was today, but it's not.
Well, it'll be the show. This will be the birthday show.
Oh, well, happy birthday then. Shit.
Thank you, man. Hey, don't worry about it, man. It's just another day, another dollar.
Oh, that's right. You don't do any celebrating or anything like that.
Yeah, no. Like, it goes back to my stunted childhood, but we'll save that for another
strange. Episode. For your birthday this year, I'm going to buy you a copy of The Neverending Story.
Please.
You can watch. And then when your daughter's old enough, she can watch it too. It's fantastic.
Okay, well.
It's the story of triumph over evil.
I thought it was about, like, witchcraft.
And, like, horses with wings and stuff.
Yeah, we don't get down on that.
No?
No, man. Nah, it's all real here. I'm already letting her self-soothe, and she's, like, 5 weeks old.
What?
It's like what the Koreans do, man. Like, when the babies are crying, you don't pick them up. You let them work out.
You're ferberizing?
Ferberizing?
This is what's called ferberizing.
Yeah.
Well, whatever the fuck I'm
doing. Read a book, man. I don't even have kids, and I knew what that's... You know how I know what it's called, though? I got that from
here. I met you.
What's that?
Yeah, the movie,
Meet the Parents, yeah. Or Meet the Walkers. Yeah.
There we go. Ferberizing.
Yeah, that's how I know it. I think they did it on some TV show, too, anyway. All right, so we got all the winners. We got through most of the questions.
We did.
Right? Yeah, so that's good. So let's wrap it up. I told Kyle we'd have him here for an hour, and I'm not a liar.
No.
It's been exactly 1 hour. Kyle, appreciate it, man. Thanks for putting up with Logan and with my scratchy voice and some of our questions. And we really do appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Glad to meet you.
Yeah, we'll be in touch moving forward, and you know, hopefully when you've got that new stuff coming out, you said in December you got something new, we can maybe have you back on, we can talk about that a little bit, and and everything moving forward. So I really do appreciate it. Thanks for being so generous with the giveaways and everything, guys. All you winners, you guys are in for a treat, man, I'm telling you. I don't know what's in these mystery packs, but if there's a lock home in there, you have to just make sure you savor it and enjoy it. Sit down, know you have an hour and a half, or nobody's going to bug you. Close the windows, turn everything off, and just really enjoy that cigar. Next week, we've got Havana Controls, Logan?
Yes, correct. Yes,
and we'll talk about humidification. Guys, appreciate it.
Awesome.
CigarFederation.com. Thanks, guys.